Blog Talk Radio.
I am.
Thank you. You are the Hallelujah. You are the living God. See what you've done for me. There is no one like you. No one like you. Father God, we praise you and we glorify your name. We thank you for this day, this precious day that you have blessed us with, O God. Thank you for this fall weather that we are experiencing now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can turn off the air conditioner and let them rest and save on the electrical bill. Lord, we ask, God, that you bless the four corners of the earth today. Allow the four angels that hold back the four winds to just come this morning and take this word, O God, to every heart, every mind, every soul, that we may grow stronger and better in you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Bless those that are coming on the line now. Bless those that are listening by satellite radio, iPads, tablets, laptops, however they're listening. Bless them, Lord. Bless them to not hear my voice, but hear your voice. Hear you speaking through me, O God. And Father, as I decrease this morning, I pray that you would increase. Let there be none of me being spoken of today, but you, O God. All that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. Let you be glorified, we be edified, and the devil be terrified. In Jesus' holy name we pray. This morning we are talking about divine favor. Divine favor. And our topic really is divine favor has been restored. Divine favor has been restored. And we want to go into the book of Hebrews this morning. We ask the Lord to bless our ears, bless our eyes, and our lips of clay, that we may see and hear and speak that which says the Lord. None of us, O God. Lord, we stand in the spirit of humility this morning. asking that you might strengthen us, O God. For, Father, we recognize that this area is that we have not gotten to the place that we can say that we got it together. So, O Lord, we are dependent, completely dependent on you to lead us and guide us through this sacred passage that we study on for this morning. The writer of Hebrews state this morning, we're looking at the King James Versions and also the NLT. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Talking about Jesus has made this possible for us through his holy sacrifice on the cross. He gave his life so that you and I can enter in. No other way we can come in. The Bible tells us very clear in the book of John that if we come in any other way, we are a thief and a robber. So we're talking about this favor that God himself has bestowed upon us, restoring divine favor on all of his children, not some, but all of him, us. And it's not only for us, but it's for those that were called upon him. This is where we got to keep teaching and preaching about holiness, repentance. You know, we can't step into that vein of holiness. Again, some trouble here in my left eye. Give me a minute. Let me put some eye drops in my left eye. I don't know what's going on here. I might have to sprinkle some cold water in it. It's just kind of acting like if there's a hair inside my eye, something there just scratchy and not allow me to get a clear 20 of that eye. But this is the only way, thank you, Holy Spirit, that we could get into that vein of holiness is by the blood. You know, you can hear people shouting this and shouting that, but if you're not coming in by the blood, I'm talking with the blood of the Lamb, you can't get in. You're just making a lot of noise. You'll be outside looking in. You know what, some people, they want to get into the, you remember when we used to go to the party and the club and so on? We want to get in. You had to have a ticket. And you dressed up really fine. You got your night, your shoes shining, everything here, cutting all that stuff. You're looking good. And you're outside making a lot of noise, but you can't get it because you don't have the ticket. You may have money in your pocket, but you don't have a ticket because you're required to have a ticket before time. You understand? And a lot of people are going to be like that. When the time comes, they're going to say, let me in, Lord. I want to come in, but you can't get it because you haven't have the ticket. The ticket is Jesus Christ. You understand? He has bestowed divine favor on us, the Father, through the blood of his, by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I just pulling up from verse 19. And we're going to work this all the way down. Got some more scriptures to do. I don't know how much we're going to do with this. But we got to go as the Holy Spirit leads. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. So you can't enter in if you're not totally trusting him. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, we say, well, I'm going to do this, Lord, but I'm not going to do that. We tell God what we're going to do when he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the director. He's the commander-in-chief of our soul. But we are get so bold that we tell God what we're going to do. God, I'm not doing that. God said, well, go down to India. I want you to go into the poorest area of India or Africa. Go into the slums, and I want you to teach the people. You're not going to make any money. Matter of fact, you're going to have to give them money, help them buy food. You don't want to go. because you don't get in the, you're not getting a big check, $15,000 like these great preachers get. They get $15,000. You can imagine a man preaching for 45 minutes to an hour and get a check for $15,000, $20,000. Can you imagine that? Some people work their whole lifetime and don't see $20,000. But they preach for 45 minutes because that's what they do. You know, these big boys that have these 35,000 members and stuff like that. Preach for one preacher, they preach for this preacher this week. Or this month, next month, the preacher come and preach for them. So they keep the money going back and forth because it's all about money. It's a business. That's why they can have jets and yachts and big homes, big castles, while the people that are giving the money living in roach-infested and rat-infested places. They're fleecing the church. But Jesus says, he says here, he says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What came out of his blood, out his side? Blood and water. Hallelujah. Washing us, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Sin and all unrighteousness. This is what the blood and water did. So our conscience are clean. We don't have to keep having this two way of thinking anymore. We're only thinking one way. We're thinking about we got a heavenly mindset. So that's where our mind is focused. Hallelujah. Can you hear me this morning? So our mind is set on doing the things that please God, because the favor of God is upon our lives. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Coming out the King James Version and coming out the New Living Translation. You know, I like the New Living Translation. I also like the Amplified, because I like the expansion of the word. You know, when you see the word expanded, it just takes you to another place. This morning, I got up and I began to study, and I was just surfing through my Bible, and I came to the message, surfing through my computer, and I came to another Bible app that I got download, the Message. And I had pulled up in the computer already and highlighted Psalm 90. This is a Psalm of Moses. And in the Message, it was so powerful that I had to share it with another prophet of God in North Carolina. I had to send it to him because it was so powerful. I mean, that version of the psalm was speaking so clearly. So this is what the word will do. That's why you have a lot of different versions, because you can read King James. One I like, you know, this is my preferred, but then I still go to other Bibles like the Globe Bible, GLO, and the Message and the Amplified, the NIV, old NIV, and the New King James. I like to go to a lot of different Bibles because you know, it enlightens you when you see the expansion of the word. Somebody's taking the word and they're researching different dictionaries to get a expansion of the words, and it helps you to grow. Because we're not all there yet. We're still growing. We're still learning. So here he said in the King James, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You see, what God has promised to us, what he has said, what he has already had penned down by the righteous man, the holy man of God, it is real. You can trust the word that's in the book, in the manuscript. You don't have to keep wavering in your thinking, well, why I've been hearing this for 2,000 years, yet still not happened yet, you know. You're wavering. You have to trust the word. You hear, if you get into a ship, a big cruise ship, and they're going to take you from here to Brazil or to Hawaii, and you got to go over all of those thousands of miles, you know there's going to be big waves, and the waves going to come up next to the ship. You're not sure that the ship going to stay on top of the water. Something not going to happen that could cause that ship to sink like the Titanic. But you're going to trust it. You know, the people say when they got in the Titanic, no one was able to sink the Titanic. No one was able to sink it. They trust that the Titanic could stand against anything that come against it. But guess it, the iceberg was so deep down in the water that when they hit the iceberg, it just cracked the ship. But the people trusted it.
God is saying if you call upon my son, he will answer you. He will show you great and mighty things that you have no knowledge of. You wouldn't call on him. Because you say, I can't see him. Why am I going to call on somebody that I can't see? God said, I've given you divine favor to prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. You don't believe. You're in a hospital, you depend on the doctor 100%. And if the doctor tells you something negative, you fall apart. You don't trust God's word. You don't trust him. I went in there with 75% blockage on one artery and 35% blockage on another. And still traveled for 22 hours in the ear. 22 hours in the ear. Traveling over mountains and valleys and oceans. Different countries to get to Africa to preach the gospel. Because I trust God. He wouldn't let that plane go down in the mountains or the valleys or the ocean. I trusted him. I didn't trust the pilot. I trust God. Sitting in the airplane with two young women with their mother, trembling, we went into what you call an air pocket, where the plane shakes like it's going to break loose. And I see these two young women holding on to their 10 or 19, holding on to their mother. Scared. They were Caucasians. And I reached over, and I told them, I said, you don't have to be afraid. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And I'm on a mission for God. God's not going to let a plane go down. Confidence, you got to have boldness in who you are. Why? Because divine favor is upon your life. Here in the NLT, let's go back. I'm going back and forth. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another of love and good works. See, a lot of times we don't motivate each other enough. What we do is condemn each other. I'm talking about people that walking up right before God. I'm not talking about those gigolos that's in the house of the Lord that playing with God's people. I'm not talking about those people that taking the word of God and just messing the word of God up for for their own needs. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about those fellows. I'm talking about the ones that really have God's people in their thoughts. They're at the forefront of their mind. They're looking for what God is saying to help the people to grow. Not that you're going to name it and claim it. God is not a gigolo. He's not a bank teller. He's a holy God. So he says, verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now we can see that as we look at the world, we watch the television, listen to the radio, we listen to the commentators and we listen to the preachers and all this stuff that we are hearing, we can tell from what we're seeing and hearing that it is near time for the Savior to return. It's drawing near. As a matter of fact, it's closer than when we first began. It's closer to him parting the clouds and coming with the angels to receive his bride. It's closer. This is why we as the bride have to get ourselves ready. Got to keep ourselves ready. Washed and clothed in righteousness. We have to be. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus has made this way. He has made this way for us. Hallelujah. What does Thomas say, or Philip says that? We don't know the way. How you say sure the way, that we know the way? Thomas says, we don't know the way. What's the way? Jesus says, I am. That's what he says. Jesus told him, listen, in the book of John, chapter 14, glory to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Philip asked him a question, says, how can we know the word? How can we know the way? You're walking with the way all your life. And yet you don't know the way. People are going to church every week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, every time the door opened, and yet still they don't know the way. You hear what I'm saying? They don't realize what is upon them, the anointing, the glory that's resting upon them, according to John 17 and 22. They don't understand the glory that's upon their lives. Hallelujah. Moses asked to see the glory. But in here, Jesus says, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one, John 17 and 22. So you be a teacher, a preacher, or you be a layperson, a congregational member, and don't realize you have the same anointing resting upon you. It's resting upon you. So you can be one with your brother and your sister. And if it's not resting upon you, you ought to go back to the foot of the altar, which represents the foot of the cross, and ask God for forgiveness and mercy, because maybe there's something that hindering you from having his glory resting upon your life. Maybe you're still walking in sin. Maybe you still operate in that negative vibration. So you need to go there where he can cleanse you. I always say if the preacher will bow down at the altar and begin to pray, like they really need God, knowing they need God. Maybe congregational members will begin to do the same. But the preachers, most preachers act like they arrive. They don't never bow down in the house. They come up from the office, they pray in the office, and come and go sit upon the altar like everything is okay. Bow down before the people. Bow down, let the people see you bow down before God and pray. People will come up and want to get next to the pastor, get next to the bishop, the evangelist, the teacher. They want to get next to you at the altar and begin to pray and seek God with you. Listen to what he says back in the King James. He says, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus is not going back to the cross a second time. He went there one time and one time for all. But why are we going to still willfully? That don't mean that we don't do some things or say some things that are sinful. But most of the time we do. We don't realize. That's why we repent every single day. We ought to repent every single day. Because, you know, the things that you... That is offensive to God. You may say, well, it's just a little thing. But it's offensive to God. Repent and clear your conscience from those things. Hallelujah. You have divine favor upon your life. Don't let a little thing stop you from prospering and walking in the blessings of the Lord. Hear what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. This is the reason why we don't continue in sin. Because there's a time coming that the adversary, the thing that comes against God, will be destroyed. If you reject him and reject his way, you will be destroyed too. Also, nothing's going to save you. Believe what I'm telling you. But when you get to know that you 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 are covered, that divine favors upon your life, you begin to walk different. You begin to talk different. You begin to treat people different. You begin to walk in that what we talked about earlier, in the anointing that destroyed the yoke. You begin to walk in it. You live in it. Hallelujah. What I have doesn't determine who I am, but whose I am. Determines who I am. Not what I have, my car, my house, my money. None of gold, diamonds, that don't determine who you are. Who you have? Do you have Jesus? If you have Jesus in your heart, that determines who you are. And how we know? Because we can tell by the way you walk. We can tell by the way you treat people, how you respond to people. I watched a little thing on this show last night on my computer. And this lady, this man, had just turned 50 years old. He was a millionaire. It was a show out of Nigeria. You know, they make these nice little movies. And nice skit. it blessed me. This woman came down. She was dressed very, very nice, very nice. And she was heading to church. We can say, well, it was Sunday morning. Because they celebrate church on Sunday. I like church on Saturday. But she headed to church. She's dressed very nice, clean. Hair done. She's all dabbed up. She's walking. She didn't have no car. She's walking to church. Maybe live a couple of blocks down the road. She's walking to church. She has a bottle of water in her hand. She's not sweating. Like me, I'll be sweating because Nigeria's hot. Africa's hot. I would be soaking wet. I couldn't walk to church. So the man come from behind a tree, and he got himself sagging clothes. He got his sweatpants and sweatshirt on, and he's sagging. But, this is his cover. He's not acting like a millionaire. He's acting like a poor man. And he come to this woman who's heading to the house of the Lord. And he said, give me some water. I need some water. I'm thirsty. I'm hot. I'm burning. I need some hot. I'm very thirsty. She's heading to the, I'm putting this in this thing because the Lord just brought it back to me. And I watched it last night. It brought tears to my eyes. And he said, give me some water. She got this big water, fresh water in her hand. And she said, no, I'm going to the church, and I don't know how long I'm going to stay in the church. And I need a water in case if I get hot, I'll have some water to drink. So he said, give me some water. I'm thirsty. He said, you got any money? I need to get something to eat. She said, I don't have no money. I just have this water. I'm going to church. But she went on to church. Well, a little while passed, and another lady came down the road. She was selling oranges. She had a tray on her head. Because, a lot of the poor people sell water. Even some people sell water, sell pears, oranges, and stuff, fruit, to pay the bills. And that stuff is very expensive in Nigeria and Africa. You see people a little pan with oranges or apples or so, and they make a lot of money with that stuff because it's expensive. So the lady had the orange on her head. We're going to get back into the mess. This is all part of the mess anyway. And he told the lady, told the water, she said, I'm thirsty. She says, I need some water. So they said, I'm working, I'm trying to sell these oranges to buy food and so. So he said, give me some water. So she said, I only got one water. So she walked a couple more steps. He asked for the water again. Finally, after asking a couple of times, she gave him the water. Then he says to her, you got a couple of dollars because I'm hungry. I'd like to go get me something to eat. She pulled out. She had like three notes. I can tell the size of the notes. She said, I have this to make change when I sell oranges. She said, I'll give you one, but I got to keep two to if I got to make change. Well, she started walking away after she gave him the water and gave him the money. And he shouted to her. She said, wait a minute. He says, I asked the lady to come down here before. Now the people say, I asked people, nobody give me water. But you were so kind, you give me water and you give me money to get something to eat. He says, I wouldn't really want any water and I really want anything to eat. Today is my birthday. He said, and I wanted to bless somebody, and I was testing to see who would have compassion enough to give me something to eat or something to drink. And you were the only woman, only one that gave me something. Well, he gave her he reached in his pocket and brought her a new Apple iPhone 15 and gave to her. She never had a phone. Because he asked her, do you have a phone? I'd like to use your phone to make a call. She said, I don't have no phone. I'm not able to buy a phone. So he reached in his pocket and gave her an Apple, brand new in the box. And she dropped the tray off her head. Oranges are going all over the road. The pan on the road, a silver pan. She said, you give me iPhone? I never had an iPhone. This would be cost thousands of dollars. And it is in Africa, costs a lot more than it costs here. And while she walking. She all crying and everything. All the oranges all over the road. She's all excited. He says, no, I got something else for you. Just a couple steps down, you know, 50, 60, 100 feet away. He has a brand new car, never driven before, that he bought, that he wants to bless somebody. Somebody that would be kind to him that morning on the 50th day of his life, 50th birthday of his life, 50th year of his life. He said to her, I got something else for you. And he said, come on. And they go a little way, and there's this brand new silver car, brand new SUV, that small SUV. She couldn't stop crying. Then he reached into the car. He said, this is not all, but I want to bless you more because you was kind. He said, no, only did you give me water, but you give me some of the money you have, a little bit of money. You give me some to get something to eat. And he gave her his stack of $100 bills. She couldn't stop crying. Then he reached in the car and gave her an envelope that had the purchase documents of the car. He reached back in the car and gave her the remote control with the key for the car. She never had a car, not even had a bicycle, a motorcycle, nothing in her life. She couldn't stop crying. She said, you give me a car, you give me money. Oh, give me phone. She's laying on the car, on the hood, crying, can't stop crying. Put the phone, the money, everything on the hood. I say this to say that sometimes, not sometimes, but us as Christians, the Bible's talking about coming together. We always got to be willing and ready to bless somebody. The person you saw next to the street that looked poor may be a billionaire. Putting on a prank. Want to bless somebody that would have compassion enough to bless the poor. Many people have lost their blessing. Lose their blessing because they refuse to bless somebody. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over should men give in your bosom. Luke 6:38. Men should give into your bosom. God will cause people to bless you. I love blessing people. I tell you, I was praying last night that I'm looking at the CIA. And I'm looking at Pentagon, Elon Musk. They're all talking about this global reset. And the way it says, even if you want to stop it, you can't stop it. It's going to happen, the global reset. And those that have vultures going to be the ones that God requires to help the world. You know, those are the ones going to be required. And I'm praying. I said, Lord, I was saying, Lord, if it's going to come to hurt people, don't let it come. But if it's going to come so we can help the unfortunate, I want it to come and come quick. Well, it looks like it's right at the doorstep right now. You know, all we got to do is open the door, and it's going to come on in. And we're going to become instant millionaires, multimillionaires, instant. So I just waiting. So I can help. I was last night praying about it. I read in a list. I looked it up all last night and said, well, why is this thing taking so long? And so far, it took 22 years for this to release, to be released. And Iraq, Iran, they all get independence. And because they're getting independence, this global reset has to happen. So get ready. Here, back in the world, we're talking about divine favor has been restored. This favor is coming for you and I, for us, the people of God, to help the lost sheep of Israel. Hallelujah. We are supposed to help those that belong to the flock and even those that are outside the flock, because Jesus said there's many others that belong to many sheep. He said they will believe on him through the word that we speak. We can't ostracize anybody. I don't care who they are. I do not care what their vice is. They could be on the street dealing, could be living a promiscuous lifestyle. It doesn't matter. We got to allow them to see Christ in us. They might even wrong us, might hurt us. We still got to allow them to see Christ in us. Why? Because his desire is not that any should perish. And some people will perish because of how some of these people treat the people. They don't want to minister to them, want to tell them about the love of Christ because of the lifestyle that they're living. They're prostitutes, they're lesbians, they're whatever their vice is. That's all they focus on. Just, I can't minister to her because she's this, or I can't minister to him because he's that. Even if they turn you down and reject your sin, you still got to tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's go back in the Word. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Here, in verse 28, he says, this is Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19. And we have verse 28. He said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Disregard the law. You did not allow the law to get you to the place that you need to be. And a lot of preachers are preaching today that we're under grace and not under law. So people say, well, since I'm not under law, I can fornicate. I can murder. I can steal. I can covet my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's ox or his ass or anything that is. I can do all these things that the law says I shouldn't do because I'm no longer under law. And that's not true. Because Jesus said he didn't come to abandon the law or abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And if you watch and listen to Jesus' teaching, it all coincides with the law. He was telling you what you shouldn't do, and all was coincided with the law. Because why? He gave the law. They said, people said the law came with Moses. No, Moses got the law from God. Oh, did Moses get the law? God gave Moses the law to give to the people. So I said, well, the law was of Moses. No, yes, Moses was a teacher. He was a prophet. But where did the prophet get it from? He get it from the Lord. And now we got to telling the people, now where you on the grace, not on the law. So you telling the people they shouldn't obey the law. And then you find that so many people in the house of the Lord are committing all these sins because you're preaching that foolishness on the altar. Well, you don't have to obey the law because you're on the grace. No, you got people divorcing in the church. You got people in the church that are doing all type of sinful acts and have no regard for the law, and going to end up in hell because you tell them that. And like telling a person on the street, well, you don't have to worry about the police. Just go break into Walmart. Take anything in the Walmart. You can have it. And now they're shooting one another inside the store. People shooting one another in the store. The security guard shooting people. People shooting the security guard. Why? Because this is the teaching that they're getting now. You can take anything that belongs to somebody. You don't have to have any regard for the person who owns it. That's what he says. This is powerful. He said you disregard by Moses' law, died without mercy, no unmerited, have unmerited favor. See, that's what mercy is. He says you died without mercy under two or three witnesses. See, people see you. They see that you're not obeying the law. So what you do? You died without mercy, without grace. But here God say, divine favor has been restored. So you have this mercy, you have this grace that's resting upon your life for you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Because your soul is prospering because you're getting sound doctrine, and sound doctrine makes sound people. Hallelujah. So here he says, of how much sorrow punishment suppose you shall he be taught worthy who have trodden on the foot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the spirit of grace. Now, folk, now when you begin to sin without any remorse, you count in the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed at Calvary, as unworthy, unholy, unrighteous. See what I'm saying? You insult the shedding of the blood. He said, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. and I will recompense, says the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is fearful, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. Hallelujah. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, yet you endure a great fight of affliction. See, God brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You say, well, I'm in the light now. I ought to be enjoying life without any problems. But because you're in the light, because you are the righteousness of God through Christ, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have afflictions. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through trials and tribulations, because he told you that. Now, the high priest, he's a high priest, and he is a mediator. In other words, he stands between you and the Father. He makes intercessions for you, for us, all day long. That's all he does. Because he loves you, so go look at that
Matthew 26, glory to God.
He is a great mediator, and he loves you and I.
That's why he gave his life. You know, one preacher says that Jesus was 80% wrong. You ever hear that? Preacher said that. And he got thousands of members following him, come from Baltimore, lives in Georgia, now have the biggest church, one of the biggest church in the United States. He got involved in Georgia. He have Bishop Long Church. He's the same preacher that said we should sell dope from the church. All the money you make can't save your life. All the money you make can't save your soul. Only thing can save your soul is Jesus Christ. And you have to walk righteous. Can't be dibbing and dabbing. Can't slip and slide. You're not chubby checker. Listen what he says. Watch in prayer that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's what Jesus said. Understand that we have to stay under the blood. This is what protects us. This is what shields us. This is what keeps us in right standing with God, standing underneath the blood. You say, but man of God, how do I stand underneath the blood in accordance with the word? The word says you must do this, do it. The word says you must not do that, don't do it. So you stand underneath the blood. Satan cannot accuse you, and if he do accuse you, he'll be falsely accusing you, which most of the time he does anyway. But don't let him be accusing you rightfully. Stay underneath the blood. Go to Philippians chapter 1. These are some scriptures that I pull up to parallel with what we're giving you out today. Philippians chapter 1, and Philippians chapter 1, let's go up in here fast, yeah. And verses 4, I believe, 1 and 4. Paul says, whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Paul did it. We should do it. When we pray, we ought to pray for everybody, even the ones that proclaim they hate us, despise us. Jesus didn't pray for himself alone. If you doubt me, read John chapter 17. He said to the Father, I'm not just praying for the ones that with me alone. I'm not praying for the ones that you gave to me in my ministry alone. I'm praying for them. I'm not looking there, but I know what the scripture says. He said, but I'm praying for all the rest that will believe on me, the whole world that will believe on me through their word.
So when you pray, you got to pray for everybody. Pray for the homosexual. Pray for the lesbian. Pray for the gangbanger. Pray for the prostitute. Pray for the adulteress. Pray for the adulterer. Pray for everybody. The bank teller that robbed you. Tell you should have so much. The next thing you know, they're taxing on your money. Interest on your credit. Making you pay more. Pray for them. You want to see change? Pray. Pray for people. Don't just develop it. I hate everybody here. No. Pray for them. I despise what the Democrats are doing to this country, but I still pray for them. Don't you hear me call their names out in the day? Probably some of the things that the Supreme Court Justice Department does, but don't you hear me pray for them? I despise some of the things that doctors and nurses are doing to the poor people, but don't you hear me pray for doctors and nurses? I despise some of the things that teachers are allowing in the schools. Don't I pray for teachers? I despise some of the things that students do. Don't you hear me pray for students? Well, we got to do that. Got to pray for everybody. Why? Because how they going to get saved? And see, there's power in your prayer. Your prayer go from house to house, from breast to breast. Prayer can go where no man or money can go. Do you know that? Pray for them. You want to see change? Prayer. That's what he says. Glory to God. He says, whenever I pray, Paul said this, I make my request for all of you with joy. So I don't do this grudgingly. I do this with joy. I love praying for people. I said prophetess Kirstie and her son, Minister Jones, and other men and women of God gets up early, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're praying for people all over the world, all over the United States of America. People that they know, people that they don't know. The ones they know, they can call out names. The ones that don't know, they just pray. Just pray for the world. And people are being touched. Last night, I had Apostle David Aduka. Azaka. I don't know how to pronounce his name. A-D-Z-A-K-A. But last night, I was praying for his wife. She fell in the shower in Africa, in Ghana. And I got to go there and preach with him. You know, now, and he said, Apostle, pray for my wife. You know, she's slipping and she hit her head. And they said that she's bleeding in her head. Well, we had to pray for her. And not only for her, for everybody, anybody that's going through some kind of pain in their body, we got to pray for them. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Jesus have mercy. Hebrews chapter 8. This is what we got to do, people. We want to see change, man. You got to pray. Pray going to change things. Because he said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves in prayer and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I, not you. He said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So what we got to do, we got to pray. We got to turn from our wicked ways too. For a lot of time, we're going through, we're doing some stuff. Nobody's know. But God knows. God said, no, you got to turn from that stuff. I want to hear from heaven. I want to plead my case. I want to plead your case before the Father. So I need you to get your spirit man right. Divine favor has been released for you. So get your... He said, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now of date and will soon disappear. Now he's talking about the new covenant is grace, the covenant of grace. And he's talking about the law. But that doesn't mean that you're going to stay with it because the law is obsolete. None of that, that you're going to start killing people because he said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder. He said, you should not commit adultery, you're going to go commit adultery. He said, thou shalt not steal. Because people say that and say, well, I'm not under the law. Don't do that. Because you will find yourself being left out when the day of judgment, you know, you start doing stuff because you interpret the scriptures the wrong way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us all the clarifications in the New Testament is made for us towards the law. So we can walk righteous as though the law was speaking to us. Because the Bible calls it, it's called the schoolmaster. The law is a schoolmaster. It teaches us what we shouldn't do. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's see where we want to start. Let's start at verse 23. Yes, Lord. I'm in the New Living Translation. Let's start at verse 23. You can start this from verse 15 and down, but I want to start at verse 23. Okay? And it says, there are many priests under the old system, talking about the law, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Verse 26. And he is the kind of high priest who we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Now see, but all high priests was not set apart from sin. He still had sin. This is why he had to go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a ram or goat, and he had to sprinkle himself first. Hallelujah. Before he could sprinkle the people and before he could talk to God about the people, because he wasn't holy. You understand? But Jesus was without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. He was without sin. Hallelujah. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless. See, this is Jesus. Unstained that by sin, sin had no effects on him. He has been set apart, consecrated from sinners, and has been given the highest place of honor. Hallelujah. He sits at the right hand of the Father, the highest place. And unlike those who are the high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sin. Jesus went to the cross once for all sinners. Not just for some. You say, well, I don't save him, sanctify. But look at that man over there that living that promiscuous life. God's sacrifices for him too. All he has to do is call upon the name of Jesus, Yeshua, in repentance. And the same blood that cleanses you, cleanses me, cleanses us, will cleanse him. We'll clean him. Do you hear me? He says, the law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath. And his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. Don't have to say anything else. See, here he is the priestly, the high priestly mediator. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, I hope you're taking these scriptures down because you can study these things so we get some more. Hebrews chapter 2, 16 to 18. I just pulled out of that, but you can start that from verse 5 and come on down. But I'm going to take from 16. He says, we also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, verse 17, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. His brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Now, He had to take on the form as a human being. He didn't come outfitted like an angel. Matter of fact, he left his divine authority in heaven, in the throne room. He could feel pain. He could bleed. He could, you know, he could hurt just like us, but the only thing he could not do is sin like us. He was God in the flesh. But his divine power was behind. That's why he could feel everything. That's why he had to pray to Father. And Father would empower him for that particular moment. Remember when he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? He said, Father, I know you always hear me. But because these people are here, I want them to see, know that you always hear me. And you always talk to me. He talked to the Father. He took on the characteristics of a human being. He felt our pain. He went to the Father. And he talked to the Father concerning us. Do you hear me today? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Talking about godly response. Godly response urged. We need a godly response in our spirit man. We've been dealing with the flesh so much, but we need a godly response, do you hear me, in our spirit man. You need a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ so your life don't remain the same. Paul had warned on his way to Damascus. Before then, he thought he was doing stuff for the Lord. He thought he was working for God. Then he was arresting Christians, men and women, boys and girls, whatever he can get of a human being, and put them in prison. Some people was put to death for acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he had a spiritual encounter, he get to realize God had to take away his sight first. You see, sometimes God had to take some stuff from us. Some stuff that kept us in bondage and wouldn't allow us to manifest his glory or his glory to manifest through us. We allow some things to keep us from that place, you know. So God had to take those things from us, take away Paul's eyesight, go down to Ananias. He was blind. He had to be led. This powerful man had to be led. Had to be led like an animal. You know, wherever he wanted to go, they had to take him, lead him, hold his hand, lead him. Couldn't see. Sometimes you have to lose your car, lose your home, lose your job for you to recognize how awesome God is. And then when you're down to the bottom of the barrel, see, you know, we say when you have to come to the bottom, you have to get fall to rock bottom. You can't give up your drugs. You can't give up your womanizer. You can't give up your sinning. But you got to get place, you know. Sometimes you got to go in prison, be locked away for 6 months, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years to get to a place that you have to call on him. Because once everything is going half decent, you don't want to call him. You still can be able to go to the crack house, the whore house. You can do all these things. You know, you still can get drunk and get up and go to work on Monday, get drunk Friday night, Saturday night, sleep all day Sunday, get up Monday morning, go to work. But then you got to lose your car. Car had to be repossessed. Your motorcycle repossessed. The boss man say he don't want you to come to the job anymore because you always smell like alcohol. You're crying to keep your job, but God does not give you favor then. There's not the allow the boss man to say, well, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. He has given you so many chances. And God said, this is the final chance. There's no more chances. So now you got to call on God now. You got to call on him in repentance. You're down in the bottom. I know what the bottom feel like because I've been to the bottom several times. Lost houses, cars, business, everything. I went to the bottom many times. Had to cry out to God. Because when you're at the bottom, there's nobody to call on. But then you know that there's nobody listening to you anyway. You're at the bottom. Say, well, they talk. I know when he had a business. I know when she had a business. When she was living in that big house up there with a swimming pool, and she wouldn't talk to nobody, but now she's down there. Now look at her. Look at him. That's what they say. But there's still somebody you can call. When you are down to the bottom, you're in the dirt, you're underneath the bridge, you're sleeping in the abandoned car, in the house that nobody abandoned house. You know, you don't have, you can't get to brush your teeth, you can't go to the bathroom like normal people, you have to go in the bush. You're on the bottom, you're on the bottom of the scale. There's still somebody you can call. His name is Jesus. And he's always there. Even when we are going through, he's there. But you know, we don't take the initiative to call upon him. You know, we're just looking at our calamities and saying, well, I'm down here. Nobody going to hear me anywhere. I come to tell you today that divine favor has been restored. It's in the atmosphere. It's on you. It's on us. It's in us. It's upon us. And God wants us to walk knowing that we have divine favor upon us. We may not have everything that we want right now, but we have everything that we need. You got to know this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 14. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. Verse 12. With his own blood, not the blood of goats or calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Verse 13. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers could cleanse people's body from ceremonial impurities. Verse 14. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. See, I told you earlier, the priest had to go in every year. Every year had to go in there. And these sheep and these goats had to be killed. Heifers, young cows, or baby calves had to be killed. You understand? And they had to be without spot and without blemish so that God would receive. They couldn't have a crooked eye. They couldn't have infected eye or infected foot or anything like that. They couldn't have what we call the skin that had this stuff with all this rash on the skin. They couldn't have none of that stuff. They had to be pure. They was considered pure or holy. But they had to do this once every year. But Jesus did it one time. For your sin, my sin, all sin. Hallelujah. So that doesn't matter what nobody say about us. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, the first four verses. We already hit a part of this book, but we just want to pull up. We got this breakdown in certain places. Talking about the godly response. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Christ sacrificed once for all. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifice under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing from those who came to worship. If they could have provided, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. See, they just covered the sins for a year. You can say they covered the sins for 364 days. But the 65th day, they had to go in. The 365th day, they had to go in. The priest had to go into the Holy of Holies. Make sure he is covered first. His sins are covered by the blood of ram and goats and heifers, and then go in for the people. But Jesus only went up to the cross one time, people. He restored the divine favor for the people, for all the people. This is where you can walk and you can talk without having all the stuff that you thought you needed. You can carry it. Listen. Exodus 29. I give you so much when we come together. I pray that you really don't take this for granted. Take the word of God serious, people. When I leave you, I lay down and take a nap because I'm dreaming. You know, Exodus 29. We're hitting back and forth some of these scriptures here so you can pull up and see what we're saying and get understanding. This is where I'm paralleling these scriptures back and forth and cross and so on so you can get understanding. Exodus 29 and 4. Glory to God. Let me get there. 29. God says to Moses, present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water. See, the water represents the word. But here in the text here, you know they're living in a desert land. They didn't wear Stacey Adams or Calvin Klein or any alligator crocodile shoes. They had these slippers that you put your big toe in, and all the other toes is out. The hand feet is out to the dust, so the feet would get dirty. If you ever go to a Muslim or a Hebrew home, Jewish home, real Jews, you will see that they have watering pots like that. The wedding feast, they'll have pots at these big clear jars at the door. If the people live here in the United States, they have faucets, the outdoor faucet. They have an outdoor faucet very close to the door, to the back door or side door. They will have and sometime by the garage, they got inside the garage, and they will take off their shoes there or the slippers, and they will put their feet in a basin and turn on that faucet and wash their feet and they step from off that thing and they step on a rug, a special rug. And they walk into the house. They will not go into the house with the dust on their feet. They clean their feet first. You could not go into the Holy of Holies or into God's presence with dirty feet. They had to be washed. Today we don't think about none of that stuff because we should be on the grace we go anywhere. We treat the altar like everyday place. Matter of fact, you know what they call the altar? I hear some preachers saying now on the stage. They call it a stage. It's like the world. They say you can't go up on a stage like that. You can't go. No, it's an altar. It's a holy place. This is why we're not seeing the manifestation of the power and the glory of God. Because they're treating everything like they're treating all the utensils and all the places in the house of God like everyday place. It's supposed to be a holy place. When you come in there, you should get a sense of holiness when you enter that room. A sense of holiness should overcome you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let us look at another scripture here. We missed one or two here, but let's look at our glory to God. Jesus, have mercy. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about divine favor has been restored. And you know that you know that it has been restored, because you don't act the same way. The same way. You look the same way on the outside. But the inside is being changed. He is taking us from glory to glory. We feel different. We know it's not about feelings, but we feel different on the inside. You see, we're being corrected on the inside so that we'll begin to act different on the outside. He says you can be sure, Ephesians chapter 5, and what we want to go to, verse 26. To make her holy and clean, wash by the cleansing of God's word. Let us go up to verse 21. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submit to Christ, so your wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. God did this. Understand? He did this. We have to live this thing out. Today you have men fighting with their wife, bashing their wife, messing up their wife, their wives messing up their husband, bashing their husband, all this stuff. The Bible says, verse 27, he did this to present her, his wife, the church, the bride, to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. This is the kind of church that he's coming for. This is why he has put this divine favor upon his church, so that his church can be holy as he is holy. Understand what I'm giving you today, what God has given us today. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I thank God when God take me back and make me look at some things. Titus 3, verse 5. I hope you're getting this. We're talking about the godly response. This is the section of the scripture we're talking about. We talk about divine favors bestowed, a highly priestly mediator, godly response. And then we're going to talk about steadfast hope. All this is the same sermon. Titus 3 and 5. He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, his unmerited favor. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? Oh, my God, my God. You should read that from verse 1 to verse 11. I tell you, it's so sweet. It is so sweet. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 3. I am telling you, it's a blessed scripture right here. All the scriptures blessed, I'm telling you. But some scriptures just do something. Steadfast hope, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You got a hope. See, if you got something that you sure about, you can rejoice. And this is something that we can be glad about. Hebrews chapter 10. Knowing that Jesus is coming back for us. He promised that he's coming back for us. He said so. I believe so. It is so. And I'm settled with that. God said it. I believe it. That said it. Don't need no more. I don't need to go through no more rigmaroles. God said it. I believe it. Having a steadfast determination. you're going to have it like that. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, we read the scripture already, but we want to put this back up again. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Let me see that. Let me see that in the King James Version now. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. I know you all want to hear it this way. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful. God is not like a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, you can believe it. Hallelujah. You got to have faith. The Bible says he is the rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. Why? He said without faith it's impossible to please him. You got to have faith in what God says. You got to believe. You don't see it, but you know that it's there. It is done. God said it. How do I know? Because he's the same God that said, let there be light, and there were light. And there is light. Hallelujah. He said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And we are here. We're here to declare who God is. We're not God. We are the children of God, sons and daughters. We're here to declare he is our Father. And we got hope. Our hope is that he said he's coming back for us. Go to Hebrews 3. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. I know you want some more. Get some more. Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. Give you some more. Pray that God give me something good, something else, powerful for tomorrow. If we are here in the land of the living. If we're not here, we are being glory. Okay? If we're not here, we will be in glory. Listen, we says we got one more part of this. We want to give you exemplary works. So we want to give you this. Go to Hebrews chapter 3 and 6, let's see. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Do you hear what he said? But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house. If we keep, no, we are God's house. Listen to what he says, contingency. We are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. In other words, that means if we stay steadfast in him, if we continue to do what he said to do. Because you can't be in him if you're doing what you want to do and not what he said to do. That is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There, your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. Hallelujah. You can see all the things that God did for people around you and still come up doing nothing. Still come up rebellious in the presence of God. Listen to what he says. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Glory to God. Verse 19. Whew. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. The hope is Jesus. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Christ has gone in. He's in the throne room. Listen to me, people. He's in the throne room and he is making intercessions for us. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, verses 19. This is what he says. For the law never made everything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system, verse 20, was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. Verse 21, but there was an oath regarding Jesus, for God said to him, the Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever. Do you hear what God said about you? You are a priest. Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Peter. Come back here. Jesus, how are you, Holy Spirit? Oh, my Lord Jesus. Let's go over to 1 Peter because you, first or second Peter, let me see. Let me see if I got it right. I hear the scripture, so I got to be right here. Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter. I'm looking at 2nd. 1 Peter. Glory to God. Listen to what he says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You're different. That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a royal priesthood. Do you know that? God said this about us. Walking around, letting the world turn us upside down. You, this is who you are. He made this oath. This is who you are. Listen, let's go to the exemplary works. And let's look, 3 or 4 more scriptures we've done. Let's go back to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Glory to God. See, when you move the scriptures back and forth like this, it just enlightens you more. Chapter 10, verse 24, 25. Let's see. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. 24:25. He said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. 25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. We come together every day on Blog Talk Radio. Some people can't get here every day because some people got other things to do. But those of us that can get, we get here every day. Why? Because we want to be encouraged by God. He said, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return draws near. We know this. Let's jump back now to chapter 3. Okay, we're going back and forth. We're talking about exemplary works. Chapter 3, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, who belong to God and are partakers with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus whom we declared to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. Just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who builds everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truth God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That's good. Glory to Acts chapter 15. Glory to God. We're coming home now. We're coming home. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, hallelujah. The apostles of Acts, Acts the apostles. Oh, Acts of the apostles. The Acts of the apostles, 15 and 39. Glory to God. You can do this
from 36 to 39, but let's go ahead and put up 39.
This disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas. And as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. Now, I want you to know that we're going to have disagreement from time to time. We will. But remember, we got to remember who we are and whose we are. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Or kill, steal, and destroy. This is what he come to do. But we got to have this hope in Jesus that he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. This is what Jesus gave us. We have to keep this in mind. Satan don't want us together. We started up with a lot of people. We ordained a lot of people all over the world. And a lot of people just get frustrated because they want to do their own thing. You understand? And they separated from us. But we are not separated from God. We know the calling that's upon our lives. You know the calling that's upon your life. I know the calling that's upon my life. I decide to go in all the way for Christ Jesus. All the way. For him. Here in the book, these disciples, apostles, they had problems like we have. You know, they were ministering. Paul is already converted. He became one of God's greatest apostles. He wrote 13 books plus. But here with the apostles, they have a separation, disagreement. And they say, instead of we fussing and fighting, let's just separate it. Let's separate it for a time. They all come back together. But let's separate it for a time. They're going one way of preaching. He's going to pray, and he's going another side of preaching. We still carrying the gospel. You understand? We cannot have any animosity in our hearts against our brothers or sisters. We still got to carry the gospel. Here we see here in what we've read here, and they keep giving this one verse here that is so important in this book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And this verse came up three or four different times in this sermon. And he says here, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his or Christ's return is drawing near. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And in this writing that I have, I brought up this scripture about four, five times, that chapter and 25, 10 and 25. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. This is your last scripture. Before you jump off, I'll tell you, no, this is your last scripture. I gave you a lot today because the Lord wants me to finish this today, and I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow if I'm still here in the land of the living. I don't know what he's going to give me tonight or today. Because when I finish this, I'm going to get something to drink, some juice, some pineapple juice, and I'm going to lay across the bed. And I know that I'm going to go for a little while, so when I get back up, I don't know what he's going to give me. Luke 21, the Lord say the same. Let's start at verse 5. Luke 10, 21, I'm coming out the New Living Translation and the King James. He says, Luke 21 and verse 5. Some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decoration on the walls. But Jesus said, the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Teacher, they asked, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place? He replied, Jesus, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and saying the time has come. But don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. No. Jesus is telling us here that a lot of things are going to happen that you really don't understand. He said, but I'm giving you a heads up of these things that's going to happen. So when they happen, you will know. I'll be gone. I'll be going back to the Father. You know that. He'll be gone. He said, but when they come, you will understand. You'll remember all that I tell you. Even this is where we got to study the Word of God, because when you see these things happen that some men are doing, because God will use them to do his work, to do his bidding. God will use them to do his bidding. Hallelujah. He will use Satan, hallelujah, to drive man back on his knees to pray. If you don't have tornadoes, you don't want to pray. You know that? If you don't have tornadoes, you don't get fearful enough to want to bow down in prayer. You don't want to fast. You don't want to call on. Get an earthquake. Get a tsunami. Water coming across the land. A high wave that you can't stop. Not even the high rise. High rise going to crumble. You say, well, America's too big and the water's too far from the White House. No. The water going to come all across the land. And it'll come from miles and miles and miles and miles across the land, tearing up buildings. Why? Because the people has rejected God. The people has gone off doing their own thing, and they feel that they got it together. They're putting more and more steel now. They're putting more steel than they ever did inside the building. They're building bunkers, and they're building these bunkers with 18-inch, 24-inch, 30-inch thick walls. They think that the water and the wind and the earthquake can't shake it. Say, well, this can withstand. You know when they're in the building, the Titanic? They said the Titanic was the largest ship ever made anywhere in the world. They said it has thicker steel than any ship. The engines were bigger than any engine you ever had in a turbine engine in any ship. They say it can withstand anything. Had multiple decks. Had swimming pool, all that stuff. Casino, everything that the people wanted. They didn't have a church sanctuary on there. But they had casino where they could dance, where they could strip, they can do all kind of stuff. Swimming pools, everything. The only thing they had is some place to praise God. They weren't even thinking about God, because they said, there's nothing in the world, not even God could destroy this boy. This is how vile man has become. And we are in that same time. We are in the time of the Titanic, in the time of Noah. We are in all those times, the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are in all those bad times. People don't have no time. Most of them don't have time. And the people that are teaching and preaching, fearing to teach about repentance. They're fearing to call men to repentance, calling men to holiness, to righteousness, to live holy and righteous. They're fearing to tell people that if they continue to live in sin, that they will die and go into hell and they will end up in the lake of fire and brimstone. They're fearing to tell them that, because if they do, the people ain't going to give no money, not going to give any tithe. I don't care. You understand what I'm saying? Because all that we gain in this world, we can't take none from this world. In the country I grew up in, I'm a United States citizen, you know, but if the country I grew up in, this is my country now, 47 years, but the country I grew up in, when I was younger, if they bury you with gold teeth, if you had your wedding band on your finger, a diamond ring, a Rolex watch, a gold necklace around your neck or around your ankle like a prostitute, guess what they do? Sometimes they didn't put the casket in. The people staying there, they pray inside the graveyard, they sing, they cry, everything, they laugh, it's not in the graveyard. And when the family leave, them grave diggers will open that casket and take your watch out, take your gold teeth out your mouth, the gold earrings out your ear, the chain from, you know what I'm saying, we'll take anything off of you that could sell. You hear what I'm saying? Because where you were going, the man would say, where you going, you didn't need all that stuff. And it's the truth. Because guess what? What are you going to do when you're going down there with a Rolex now? And you're going to get up in the middle of the night and say, well, what time it is? Where's my wedding band? But you want the most expensive wedding band. Some of them stars got wedding bands in the millions, and they got people starving, dying for starvation. They would put wedding bands on their wife's finger. Anywhere you could stand, you could see the glitter of that stone. And you got me. You know how many people could live for years over that one ring? Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What do you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing. That's what he says. Let's go back into this. I want to finish this here. Then. Jesus is speaking. It's all in red. It's all in red. He's speaking here clearly. He says, nation going to fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He said, there will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. Aren't you seeing some of this stuff happening now? Christians out there evangelizing the street, the world, and they're being persecuted. Some of them are spit on, kicked, and slapped in the street. He said, but this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, friends will betray you. We just experienced that. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. Do you hear that? This is Christ, our Savior, talking. It's your Bible. In your Bible, Luke 21, verse 5 to 24. Read it for yourself. I'm telling you, if you're going to walk for him, this is what you got to face. This is a glimpse of what you got to face. If you want to be a born-again believer, if you want to live the life that he requires for you to live, and if you want to achieve what he already prepared for you. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. A contingency, you may be. He didn't say you're going to be. He said you may be there also. So that means you have to live to be there. You're not just going to be there because you say, I'm going to be with Christ. I'm going to heaven. He said, he died, he going to heaven when he with Christ. Away. That's not true. You're not going to heaven. So when he died, he goes straight to heaven. You got to come before the judge first or the king first. This is what he said. He says, even those closest to you, this is the part that I had to highlight. Even those closest to you, your parents, imagine that, your brothers, your relatives, and friends will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair on your head will perish. Do you hear what he says? By standing firm, you will win your souls. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up because of trials and tribulation. Minister Jones, Brother Mark, Deacon Fraser, Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joy Stewart, Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, Pastor Brown, Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Campbell, Minister Undear, Apostle Millie. Don't give up, Prophetess Jackie. Don't give up, Apostle LeGrand. Don't give up, Evangelist Blanche. Hallelujah. Evangelist Curtis. Don't give up. Stand firm. That's what he says. Glory to God. You are his followers. We are his followers. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Verse 21. Then those in Judah must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out. And those in the country should not return in the city. For those will be days of God's vengeance. And the prophetic word of the scriptures will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. For there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. They will be killed by the sword and sent away as captives to all the nations of the world. And Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles, the non-Jews, until the period of the Gentiles come to an end. This is the word of the Lord, our God and our Savior, for his church all over the world today. If I had to leave one word with you today, it would be repent, wherever you are. The Bible says that godly repentance leads to salvation. We have to get to that place where we truly sorrowful, godly sorrow. It will bring you to that place. Repentance leading to salvation. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for those that were able to come on and hear this word. We ask you, O God, we know the four corners of the earth is blessed according to Revelation. We know that is protected by the four angels of heaven. We ask you, O God, to continue to strengthen us, Lord. For sometimes we feel so weak, like if we can't go on anymore. But Lord, you have given us the strength and given us the endurance to continue to the end, to that day that you choose to call us home. Lord, we ask you to impart new wisdom and new revelation. Give us fresh oil, O God. We are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, O God. So we're asking for you to fill us. Cause our cup to overflow, like the songwriter says, O God. Fill me up. I want more, God. Fill us up, Lord. Bless us to hear clearly and see clearly and speak clearly with compassion, with love, with mercy and grace, O God. Lord, keep us humble wherever we go. Because wherever we go, we are in your presence, Lord. We ask you to keep us humble. Let us not ever get to a place where we have puffed it up, thinking that we have arrived, that we got it together. We ask you to bless and protect everything that concerns us, our friends, and even the ones that deserted us, God, we ask you to bless them. Bless our nation. Bless from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Bless our nation. God, convict every person everywhere that this spirit of this letter goes. Because your Bible declared that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So we ask that you allow the spirit of this letter, of this word, to go forth as it went forth over this earth, O God. And whoever hears it, let it be the convicting tool to draw them closer to you, to cause them to go to their knees and say, Lord, I need to be closer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the time. I'm not going to do a long prayer of salvation because I put so much on day today. I am tired. But I want you to take the moment to just examine your own heart, wherever you are. Take inventory of your own mind, your soul, and see if you are right with God today. See if you are right with God today, please. We want you not to be distracted or disturbed. People disturb us. But we need you to stay focused on what God is doing in your life. Doesn't matter where you're at right now in your life. He's doing something in your life, in our lives. You're never without help. I just want you to know that. You're never without help because he said he's our helper. He said he's our strong tower, that we can run into him and be safe. He said he is our buckler. He is our battle axe. He is a mighty strong tower. He is the warrior that never lost a battle. He is fighting for us even right now, that the enemy is fighting against us to try to stop us and hinder us. He's fighting for us. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you believe what happened, what he did on Calvary, what they did to him, they nailed him, they pierced him, they crowned him with thorns, they smacked him in his face, they spit on him. If you believe that all this happened to our Savior, that his skin was torn with a cat-line whip, torn for your sins, for our sins, because my sins was on the cross too, was nailed to the cross. If you believe this, salvation is available to you. All you need to do is repent. According to Acts 2:38, repent for your sins. Repentance just means simply that you got to make a decision to turn away from your sin. This is what repentance means. You have to make, we, all of us, had to make the decision, still have to make every single day. Turn away from your sin and allow God to enter your heart. Invite him in your heart. Denounce Satan. He was the God that controlled you. Denounce him. Denounce Satan and all of his agents and invite God in that place that Satan used to take up residence in your heart. Simple. When you do that, you are telling God now, I have rejected all the things that was controlling me. And I come to you just as I am. That's what you're saying to God. You said, Lord, I'm giving you all of me. And I want all of you. A great exchange. He made a great exchange at the cross. So now you got to make a great exchange now. At the cross, he exchanged himself and took on your sin, my sin, our sin. He did all that at the cross. He loved us enough that he was obedient even unto death. The Bible says he didn't say a mumbling word. So right where you are, my God, I'm telling you right now, I feel this thing so strong. Just right where you are, just invite Christ in your heart. Invite him to come in. Tell him that the door to your heart is open for him and him alone. Oh, my God, you got to get excited about your life. Because this is your life. Michelle, tell us, the Lord Jesus, the door to my heart is open for you to enter. No one else for you to enter. And right now I'm inviting you to come on in, Jesus. Take up your rightful position in my heart. Save my life from the pit of hell. So, Lord Jesus, I understand that hell has enlarged in its mouth. It wants me to come in. But, Lord, I heard the word today. And I believe that you went to Calvary. You went to the cross and you laid down your life. give me access, resurrected power. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Do you hear that? Ain't that something? In the book of Romans, it says the same power that raised him from the dead dwells in us. Man, when I read that, it just blew my mind. To know that this supernatural divine power dwells in all, each and every one of us that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It dwells in us. So now you can walk, you can talk, you can live in that life. You can live in that life that God has prepared for you, okay? And I tell you, get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Live it out. Live it out. And glory to God. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today. And I'm convinced that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I invite you to come into my heart now, Lord Jesus. Take control of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I accept you now with everything that's within me. And I turn away from Satan and the world system. Everything that Satan had on me, I put down now to take up you, the things of God. In Jesus' name. If you say that, get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and join the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles is called sometime. Study the word of God so that you can become all that God called you to be. Hallelujah. And then when you study the word, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because you have to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38 and Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. You have to be baptized because it's part of your salvation. It is the cord that ties all together. Hallelujah. So before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why your enemies? Because you want everybody to know. Because your enemy is not going to give up. I remember when I got baptized and stuff, I told this guy, he's got locked up. We used to be running the streets together. And when he come out, the first thing he do is call me. Because I always kept a nice vehicle, and he figured, well, we would go to the dope man together. But when he called me, he said, man, I don't do that anymore. I'm a minister now. He said, what? I can't believe it. I said, yes, I'm one of God's servants. He couldn't believe it. You know, he never called me back since. So you need him. And some of them, they will leave you and don't ever come back because they want to keep doing what they're doing. But some will still keep coming back. And some will give their life because they see you. They at that pool and they see you going down that water, at the beach, at the river, wherever you're getting baptized, in the sanctuary. And they see you going down that baptismal pool. And they may be convicted right there that they want to be saved. And they might give their life to Christ Jesus. And then they go through a baptismal class and get baptized another time. But you invite them all. And then when you're going down to get baptized, we call it the liquid grave. You are going in there and you're leaving everything that held you in bondage. This is your faith. You're believing in yourself that you're leaving that stuff there. So when you come up, you're coming up in the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Find yourself a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved, my friend. Be a participator. Don't be a spectator. And God will use you for his glory. Bless you all and pray for whoever backslid. If you backslid, you say the same prayer and rededicate your life to Christ and invite Christ to come back and take up his position in your heart. And your life will begin to change and get back in right standing with God. God bless you all. The line is open for anyone that want to respond. And say something.
God bless you. God bless you, Apostle.
God bless you.
Yeah,
thank you, Minister Jones.
Yesterday, too. I've been working so hard trying to get on there, but then I try to pull out to make a lot of noise, so I wait till I'm driving to my next door to be able to say something. But, man, I enjoyed every video, man. You were hitting everything. I mean, it was just, the word was so good. The Bible said the word was like a two-edged sword. And I mean, it'll cut you, man. I mean, it cut all that flesh off to get you in the spirit. And I just thank God for the word. And you just said so much today. Man, I don't know where to start at, you know, but I just think about, you know, like this generation now with the word, you know, we're living in a time where the Bible did, you know, it said it was gonna be doctors of devils and seducers. Man, become a lover of themselves, more lover of God. That's the time we're living in. And you got people in the pulpit, and you know, everybody ain't a Christian, man. Everybody's not a child of God, you know. You know, they saying, you know, you got these new preachers, and when you were talking about one of them, I know his name, and I don't know about you want me to say it on this broadcast, but yeah, I heard when you said that telling the people talking about Jesus Christ was 80% wrong for what he did, and I'm like, man, well, okay, so if that's the case, why are you still here then? Because if you hadn't been there for Jesus Christ died on the cross. Man, we all would be, we wouldn't even exist. Because God was getting ready to, he's already, if you go in the Old Testament, it was telling God that he had created man. When that's why he had to send the flood. God was angry. And you know, you think we, God gonna pass us up when we the entrepreneurs, this generation so entrepreneurs, everything that got them in trouble with God, man, we doing twice as much as before the business wiped off the planet. Of mankind, because God mercy his son down on the cross and shed his blood, that's why we're still here. And he just sad how we in the generation now, well, people taking, you got some leaders, I can't call them a leader, some of them that say God, the Bible says men are called for your chosen, and those that say God chose them, when you listen to what they're saying, and you've been seasoning with the word of God, you're like, wait a minute, what Bible you read? Because it's like they're taking the Bible now. Anybody can preach the Bible now. And they're taking it and cutting out the word of God and making it fit for their own agenda. And then it's not making any sense. You don't see no holiness in it. You don't see no righteousness in it. It's like all flesh, all pride. Do whatever you want to do, and you're still going to heaven. Like I heard a man of God say one time, as a apostle say, people think they're going to go to, they're going to slide to heaven on a banana peel. Like, it's just like everybody going to heaven with speech now. You know, and that just don't make sense. Why would, you know, if that be the case, why would Christ die and then say everybody going to heaven? Why would God kick all the angels out of heaven that turned against him and kick Lucifer out and the angels, a whole bunch of angels fell with him? And to this day, a lot of pleading with God asking, can they come back? If you think God going to kick them out and let Satan come right back in? And so people just don't understand because they don't read their word. And they trust everybody that, some people that's behind the pulpit that's saying their pastor ain't a pastor. You got doctors of devils. You got people that been sent out by Satan. And they not preaching the gospel. They got their own agenda. They got what they think and what they believe. It ain't nowhere in the Bible where you go to have your own opinion. You go to go by the whole world and eat the whole world of God. Jesus never came to change the law. He came to fulfill the law. And, you know, they saying, you know, like you were saying something about the law earlier. I hope I'm still on topic. If you read Romans 6:1, say, what shall we say then? Say, we continue sin that grace may abide. God forbid. You got people now having a license to sin. That do what you want to do. Go to the club on Friday, Saturday, have a good time, and then come on Sunday and sing Kumbaya like everything all right, and God is going to keep winking at your sin. Like, you're not going to get paid for what you done. And when the Bible clearly says, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And people don't really understand God's word, they think because God is a God of love, and God so loved the good that God ain't going to judge man for what they're doing. That's what sad about mankind today is that they putting God like they trying to treat God like he is sugar daddy and this Santa Claus. You can do what you want to do and like you like they tricking with God and then they come to him any kind of way, treating God like he like man. God is not like man. That's what hurt me about the generation now. They treat God like they coming to their best friend or they talking to another man. God ain't like man. Man ain't, because man can never can compare to what God did. If you want to hear what he created the heavens and the earth And for man to have the audacity to disrespect God, the way they're doing that is scary, man. I don't understand it. You got these preachers, they're saying they're pastors. They ain't. Anybody that'll follow somebody that'll tell you something against that word, you need to run. About anything, any angel, anybody coming, you preaching anything that was in that word, they said let them be accursed. And you got people following this type of stuff, and I feel like if a person sitting up under that kind of teaching, that means they don't really want God to say. They think they're doing God a favor. Like some people think that they go to church on Sunday, that they doing God a favor, and think that's going to get them into heaven as long as they name on the church roll. Long as they can sing in the choir, or they can play the instrument, or they can quote the scripture, that's going to put them in heaven when you got to repent. And it's just sad the time we living in where anything go do what you want to do, and it's just a hot mess. It's embarrassing because then you can't holler. It's a famine for the word of God. You can't holler by the truth no more unless you seek it for God. Where the Bible says, though they hunger and thirst out of righteousness shall be filled. But you got to really be hungry for God to find the truth now, because the stuff they're doing on in Facebook and this stuff you're seeing on TV, man, it's just a hot mess. You got pastors all in the pulpit with tattoos now, earrings all in their nose, all in their ears. And there's no example of where true holiness is. When he told us we're a royal priesthood, we're going to be set aside by sitting there sitting upon the hill. I'm going to come out the streets and then I'm going to come in my pastor and look that I got to look for out there. Look, I'm leaving the crack house and the pastor saying he's going to save somebody. I'm going to go to the crack house, I'm going to save somebody. And you're going to smoke crack with that person and say, okay, this is how you. It just don't make sense. It just don't make sense. And so, you know, we just have to really pray and ask God to help us do better. You know, it's just sad, you know, that, but, you know, Apostle of Count, I love you, man. Just got to continue praying. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. You add so much to it. We just bless the Lord for you. Stay safe out there. We just had fall weather yesterday. Today we got summer weather. You know, God's awesome, man. I mean, it's 87 degrees outside there today. Yesterday we were freezing. He can do anything. He's anything but fail. We just bless you and bless your mother. I pray that she can come on and bring another word on Friday if she got chance to come on in, so you can check with her, see if she got a chance to come on Friday. And we just know the Lord will give us something else for tomorrow. We got plenty of stuff, so, you know, we're connected to him, so he's going to give us some stuff for tomorrow. But there's a lot that we put out there today. And talking of, there was four different parts of the sermon that I put all in one. But just to get us close to know, understand that he is our mediator. He is our savior. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is everything to us. And he has put this divine favor upon us that we should be walking in, you know, not scrimping and not complaining, not worrying, because he have not given us that spirit. You know, we ought to be just knowing that all is going to turn out for our good. It don't matter what it looked like now, what it seemed like, what's happening now. It's going to turn out for our good because he said so. He said so. You imagine when Noah was building that ark, it took him almost 100 years to build that ark. I know a lot of preachers say 120, but it's not 120. You know, he gave mankind 120 years to live because of sin that was in the earth. But it wasn't 120, it was almost 100 years he took, because when he called Noah, Noah was 500 years old. When Noah entered the ark, he was 600 years old. When he came out the ark, he was 601 years old. Now, so you got to understand, people got to, I mean, you got to look at the scripture, see what scripture is saying. But for almost 100 years, Noah had to deal with, can you imagine people calling him all kind of names? He was stupid, he was dumb, he was foolish, because he was so many miles away from the nearest water, the nearest river, lake, you know, and they never seen rain come from heaven before. No rain had come. All that was coming up was dew came up out of the earth, but no rain fell from heaven. No water fell from heaven till the flood. And they were mocking Noah. So Noah had to go through a whole lot of stuff. But after that, he experienced the promise. He experienced the joy of the Lord. He experienced the joy of the Lord. So we got to stand on that same word, man. All that we're going through, all that's happening now, we got to stand on the promises of the Lord. After it's all done, it's going to be joy. After it's all done, it's going to be joy. We're going to experience the joy. But he told us in the word that we're going to experience tribulations and trials and
persecution. He tells us all about that in the book of Luke. We just read. He said, all this stuff going to happen. We're going to have famines. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be earthquakes. There are going to be all types of stuff. You know, tornadoes going to come. Volcano is going to erupt. All this stuff going to happen. And there's nations that have big volcanoes, they're going to erupt. Because why is sin going to cause them to erupt? The things that men are doing, scientists are doing, going to cause volcanoes to erupt. And people going to die. And a lot of people, even like today, you know, they're getting ready to sound an alarm on the phones. All the phones going to go off at one time. This is all they're doing. They're testing this stuff. You know, all of a sudden they just decide because there's something going to happen. And they trying to get you ready. Something going to happen soon, very soon. You know, but it may be too late. They had alarm system. Why didn't they sound the alarm in Hawaii? Why all them babies had to die? Why all them kids had to die? Why they didn't sound the alarm with the fire? But all that stuff was shut down. But today, for some reason, they're going to sound your phone, my phone, all phones going to go off at little after 2 o'clock, somewhere 2:30 or something like that is going to go off. Then sound the alarm. But I tell you, the only alarm that I'm interested in hearing the alarm that Jesus is coming. That's the only alarm I'm concerned about. Because this alarm that they think is going to save them, it's not going to save anybody. Not when he comes. They can press the button as much as they want. When he comes, they can go in their bunkers. They can go on into the ocean. They can go on into rock, on into dirt. It can't save them. If they even put like their jets, their rockets on Mars, it can't save them when he comes. Everything going to be shaken. Not a stone going to be standing unturned. Everything going to be shaken when he comes. I don't care who believe in it or not. The Bible said it. I believe it. That's it. So anyway, thank God for you coming on and sharing for us today, sharing and giving us some more insight of what you hear and what God has put on your heart. I don't think anybody's going to respond. So, my friend, you can always come on in. I don't think anybody's going to respond. You can come on in and Brother Minister Jones, come on in and close us out. We still have 20 minutes to record. And
yes, sir.
If anybody's want to give them 2 minutes, if they don't respond, nobody respond, you can come on in and pray for us. Close us out, and we will see you all on tomorrow. Ask Mother Prophetess if she can bring the word on Friday.
Yes, sir.
And tell her get back to me, let me know. All right. All right. God bless. Go ahead and pray us out.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to come for your grace and mercy today, Lord, the word, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, the Lord God, to hide the word in the heart that we won't sin against you today, God. God, keep us, Lord, throughout, Lord, these alert that get ready to come, God. Cover us with your blood. God, you say you never leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, help us, Lord, stand in a secret place. God, you say he did as well as you placed on the most high shit abide under your shadow. So, Lord, we just trust in you, Lord, knowing you do a seed above all we ask and thank according to your power that's working in us, Lord. So, Lord, we just taking our heart and mind and we trust in you in the name of Jesus, Lord. In spite of what's going on, Lord, we put all our trust and our love and kind and heart in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to continue blessing Apostle Calendar, Lord. Cover him with your blood, God. Keep him and his family, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that he'll be able, Lord, to continue preaching the gospel and doing your will. In Jesus' name, keep every pastor and every leader out there today, God. And every apostle, Lord, cover them with your blood. Let your mercy and grace keep them today, Lord. Cover them with your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Cover Africa, Lord, God, and Haiti, Lord. Hawaii and all the other countries that are suffering. God, because of evil man, Lord. Keep the children, Lord. Cover our children with your blood, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And God, we forever bless your name, God. Let your mercy and grace stay with us and keep us throughout the day, Lord. Let your blood keep us. And Lord, help us, Lord, keep our minds stayed on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. We'll see you all on tomorrow. If the Lord said the same, have a blessed and safe day. We are out of here. Minister Jones, close us out, and we thank God. I want you all to know that we appreciate each and every one of you all that come on. We're ready with us each day that you get a chance to. You may be on your job or where you are, the doctor's office.
gas station, grocery store, wherever you are, you get a chance to come on and hear the word. I want you to let you know that we appreciate your presence, even if you don't respond and give God glory. We thank God for you. I want you to know that God loves you. We love you, but God loves you more. God bless you. Have a blessed day and safe day. Bye-bye.